Welcome to the Basketball Index Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor, and today we're talking about the secret to the Magic success this season. So the Magic have been a team I've been, I would say, skeptical of this year because of two reasons. One, they're a fairly young team. They are exiting the rebuild phase at the beginning of the season. So the thing with rebuild is, like, ideally you're like, hey, this is going to be 3 years, but sometimes that rebuild can go on for much longer than that. It can turn into a 5, 6, 7 year rebuild if things don't go to plan. So prior to the season, you were kind of hoping that they were going to be more competitive this year, and that has happened. But the two things I've been worried about is it's a young team exiting rebuild mode, and then the offense just hasn't been very good this year. They're 22nd in offensive rating, so that's always a concern because, you know, I did the research last offseason, and offense just is more important than defense in terms of winning. So they've been very good on defense. They've been third best in defensive rating. And that is a very good sign, which is interesting. I feel like when you have a team that looks like this, again, 22nd in offense, third in defense, and they're very competitive this year, you typically don't think of a young rebuilding team. Normally, for me, I think of like a veteran team that doesn't quite have enough offensive juice anymore. So interesting to see this type of results in terms of offense and defensive rating on this type of archetype of team. But let's get into the things that are making them successful. So that was my two concerns this year, to where I thought they would fade a little bit, and they did, and they kind of came back in the last few weeks. They've been playing really good basketball. So two things that I think are the key to their success this year. Obviously, young players continuing to get better. I'm not really counting that as, like, I feel like sort of built into like what a rebuild is. But the two most important things is their defensive depth as well as their playmaking depth. Those are the two things that really pop out in the metrics. And as the season has gone on, I've definitely taken note of that. So let's start with defense. I think that would be the best place to go because, again, this is pretty crazy in terms of defensive depth for a team. So basically of all their rotation players, they have zero guys that are negatives in D. LeBron, which that just really doesn't happen. That, like, almost never happens. So that just right off the bat, that type of depth to have, what is it? There's nine players that are, I would say, legitimately in the rotation. They have over 750 minutes played, and all of them above average. So you do have a something that happens with the way that all-in-ones work. Like, you can basically think of it this way. There's the on-off component, and then there's the box score component. Those two things make up an all-in-one. And when you have the on-off, basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to look at the defensive rating for a team and then divvy up the credit for where it should go, and depending on, you know, when a player's on the court versus off the court, they're better or worse. That's how you sort of end up with part of the equation for D. LeBron. So some of it is a rising tide lifts all boats. So if you were to take off some of these players and put them on another team, their D. LeBron could go down, right, if they're not surrounded by a bunch of good defenders. But if you have nine guys that are pretty solid at defense and half of those guys look to be pretty darn good, you're going to get a pretty good output in terms of your real defensive rating, your real life basketball, and also your D. LeBron is going to be higher. So what we want to identify first is the difference makers on defense, because Jalen Suggs is probably the heart of this team, right? Heart and soul, but also a phenomenal defender. He's top five in terms of pointed He's top five in terms of point of attack defenders in the league. So Jalen Suggs is an extremely good guard defender. There's defensive playmaking. There's just really good, I almost call it like down to down play. In football, that was a common thing where it was like, how consistent are you from play to play, not just the boom and bust plays. So Jalen Suggs just all around really, really good. Like I said, top five up there with like the Alex Caruso's of the world at the top of the leaderboard. So Jalen Suggs, again, 22 years old. I think he's going to be a real key part of this team as one of the really, really high-end role players. Not really an offensive guy, but have you ever seen how hard he plays? I actually was a little worried. Last year, I liked him. This year, obviously playing really well, and I worried about the longevity of his career because he plays so darn hard. But again, he's 22 years old, so you don't got to worry about your 30s when you're 22. Another guy who seems to be really moving. This is my new thing, right? So Dean Wade, president of the fan club. I feel like a parent. I feel like Dean Wade has graduated to legit impactful role player in the NBA, is one of the best wing stoppers in the league this year. So I feel like I can almost like I push him out of the nest where I'll always have my Dean Wade tattoo. But, you know, it's time. Okay, who's the next diamond in the rough? And I talked about it earlier this year. But Gogo, you've never heard of this player. Gogo Batadze is a guy who's bounced around the league for a few years. He's 24 years old, and he has been phenomenal as an anchor big for the Orlando Magic this year. He is, let me pull it up. Yeah, he's top 10 in D. LeBron among bigs this year. And he hasn't played a ton of minutes, so that's going to limit. It makes the number a little less stable, right? Because he's just under 1,000 minutes this year, which isn't a ton of playing time. But again, when you have a role player coming in, and I don't know what he ultimately becomes, but again, when you have a role player coming in that's giving you crazy, crazy defensive impact at like 20 minutes a game, that's something you got to take note of, because if you can Frankenstein that together with another good defensive role player, another big, all of a sudden, like if you look at what like the Knicks have going on, they have like two really good centers where when one of them goes down, you can sustain. And the difference between getting 48 good minutes of center play versus 30 good minutes of center play is like, so Anthony Davis plays more than that. He plays somewhere in the mid-30s, and they've really been stretching him this year. But there's a lot of teams like that where they just like don't have another option. When the Lakers, when AD is off the court, the defense is not very good, and you can just feel it when you're watching the game where you're like, wow, there's no other interior presence on this team, not only in terms of like shot blocking, but just in terms of, again, that down-to-down thing, just consistently being in the right place, rotating at the right time, just doing what you need to do at a high level. So not having that for 15 minutes in a game can really, really hurt you. So Goga being a part of that, I don't know how he ultimately fits into the equation, but Batadze, again, really, really fun name, which is very important. And then two, huge analytic impact. This is my new, I'm on the Goga Batadze. That is my new Dean Wade. So Goga and Jalen Suggs, they've been huge, huge defensive pieces for Orlando as not being like, you know, like the primary star player you think of. What's really exciting about this team is most people would say moving forward, the two key pieces to the Magic's rebuild is Paolo. Obviously, he was the number one pick. He was the rookie of the year. And then you also have Franz Wagner. And I don't know how, Wagner, I think is how you say it. I'm going to go with Franz Wagner. All right. So if I said it wrong, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, I'm not great with names. But I'm going to go with Franz. So those two guys are what the rebuild is really about. They both had really good years. I think they're both a lock for top 75 players right now. I think they're knocking on the door of being top 50 guys. I don't know if they're ultimately there. I would need to do a deep dive on them and crunch a bunch of... Well, here's the thing. I was like, man, I really want to watch a lot of these players. Where I was like, Anthony Black, 20-year-old rookie, putting up really good defensive numbers, is not an offensive player at this point, but again, only 20 years old. And there was a number of players where I was like, oh, I'd really like to do like a 30-minute deep dive on this player. And then I realized that it was like more than half the rotation. And I was like, oh, nobody's got that kind of time. But that's what analytics are for. So we looked at the analytics for everybody. And point being, going back, Franz and Paolo, these are two first-namers. I like this. They are both above average on D. LeBron, which is really, really exciting. They're both two-way wings, so there's a built-in floor to their value. And then Franz is looking like a difference maker on defense. He has a D. LeBron above one, which is really, really good for a wing. So, like I said, defensive depth all around, fantastic for the Magic. Jalen Suggs, heart and soul, elite perimeter defender. That's very important. And the NBA is changing. Like, classically, it was you need to have a big-time rim protector, and then all the pieces around that are great, but the big-time rim protector is like what it's all about. And, you know, as the game has changed in the last 10 years, that big rim protector is important and always will be important just because of the way basketball functions. But we've seen a number of teams put together a strong defense with multiple perimeter players. Like, I think of the Suns. I think that they're a great example. A few years ago, when they made their run to the finals, they had Jay Crowder playing at a good, you know, pretty high level for him. They had Mikal Bridges. And then not in the same way, Chris Paul doesn't guard people in the same way, but he's still a pretty good team defender, where all of a sudden you had three-plus perimeter defenders on the court, and that hid, honestly, DeAndre Ayton's not an impactful defender. He's not. He's a pretty good offensive player. He has a lot of skill, and wherever you fall on him, not really the point of the conversation, but the point of all this being Phoenix made their run having multiple good perimeter defenders, and specifically they had two pretty good wing defenders. So I think you really like what you're seeing out of Franz and Paolo being two-way players. Another guy to touch on is Wendell Carter Jr. He is a pretty fun player from like a skill set standpoint, but he's also been pretty solid on defense as an anchor big. So, you know, the long and short of this is they have a number of guys that are good defenders. It looks like they have one great defender in Jalen Suggs. Gogo Batase, potentially great defender. Again, really small minute, you know, kind of sample size this year. But the D. LeBron's been out of this world. So your water cooler, if you like bringing up players that no one's ever heard of, to sound smart like I do, Gogo Batase. Also, just a fan. It just flows off your tongue. It's a great name. Okay, the other side of the Magic success this season is the collective playmaking of the team. So they don't have like one primary guy that is, like I've talked about this before, having a top five or top 10 playmaker just greases the wheels for the offense so much. It's so important. But the problem is there's extreme rarity in those guys. So you run into problems trying to obtain them because they're really valuable. They're hard to find, and teams don't really want to let go of them, rightly so. So when you don't have that, you have to try to come up with a way to circumvent that. And the Magic have a collection of players that there's a lot of good passing. Potentially, maybe down the road, great passing, who knows? But there's a lot of good passing on this team. We have a metric. It's passing creation quality, which looks at when you pass it to a player, it is how open their shots are, basically. So if you're passing to a player and they're always getting wide open shots, your passing creation quality is going to be really high. And as a team, the Magic, they have five players with an A in that stat in their rotation. Like, that's crazy. And not all of it is the traditional Luka drive, attack, you know, all the defense falls to you and then you kick it out to the corner. It's not all that, right? Some of it is just really good ball moving of, hey, there's an advantage created somewhere. It's moved to Jalen Suggs and then he moves it to somebody else for a great shot. Like, Jalen Suggs is a great example of he's one of the best ball movers in the league this year. He has a D in passing volume, so he doesn't do it that much, but he has the 100th percentile in passing quality. So what that means is when he is in the chain of passes, he's really good at making that extra pass to get that really extra wide open shot. Another one, Gogo Batase, same thing, where he has a D in volume, but he has an A in quality, so he's moving the ball effectively as well. What we really want to focus in on is the drivers of this. So the guys with the A in volume as well as the A in quality. That's really what you're looking for. You can zoom in further than that, but for podcast sake, that's the easiest way to explain it. And the only guy on the team with that is Paolo. So Paolo is a really exciting guy because he is 97th percentile in on-ball gravity, which is basically how much defensive attention he's getting. So that means tons of defensive attention. His volume is good. It's not elite, but it's good, right? It's near the top of the league. And by that, I mean volume is potential assists. So you pass it to someone, they shoot it. Who cares if it goes in or not? And then the other side of that, because everyone's always like, yeah, but hold on, what about the quality of the shot? And I'm like, no, we got a stat for that. Don't worry. This is like, this happened last night with Wemby. There was a transition play where he got back. And there was a guard that dribbled into the paint and then decided not to shoot the ball because Wemby's right there. He's going to get shot blocked. And then he flips it to someone coming down the lane with a whole head of steam. they also decide, you know what, I don't really want to try Wemby here in this transition opportunity. I'm going to get swatted. So they dribble it out, they reset. And everyone online is like, look at this play in all the comments on Twitter. This is fantastic, and there's nowhere in the stat sheet that this gets collected, but it's really fantastic. And I agree with the sentiment of this is a very important stat, and like I wish there was a way to quantify it. And it's like, but we do have a way to quantify it. We have rim deterrence, which looks at when you're on the floor, do players attempt more or less shots when you're on the court? So sometimes it's funny because people are like, well, I wish you had a metric for this. And I'm like, yo, we got over 250. We probably got one for that. And if we don't, we'll make one. There's literally been times where I'm like, oh, we actually don't measure this. And then I just like get in the Slack and I talk to one of the really smart guys that knows about numbers and spreadsheets and stuff and coding. And I'm like, this? And he's like, yeah, with these inputs. And I'm like, yeah, and then we just make the stat. We actually have a new stat coming out. It's not out yet, but it is drive points per 75. So we have a bunch of drive data, and then we can look at how often they pass out for assists. And you've probably seen it, I've tweeted it out before, and a lot of times it'll be a graph where the x-axis will be drives per 75, and then the y-axis will be drive assist percentage. So when they pass out of a drive, how what percentage of the time is it an assist? And looking at that graph is good because you're like, okay, if they're driving a lot and they're getting lots of assists, that's really good. And there's some guys that barely ever drive, but they pass out for assists, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, oh, we should just make one stat to see how many points you're creating per 75 on this. And then literally I slack Neil, one of our guys, and then we're like, okay, we're just going to make it. But back to the Magic. So they are, like I said, really good passing team overall, creating really good quality. I also think you got to give a little bit to the coach when you don't have a number one playmaker on the team that you run everything through offensive hub. I think some of that is you're going to show up in scheme for the coaching. So I feel like you got to tip your cap there a little bit. Again, I know we don't talk about coaches a ton on this podcast, but that is probably a place where I would assume coaching would come into play. But Paolo, again, A in gravity, A in volume, A in quality. That's really, really good. Really excited about that. Franz is another guy where it looks good. Again, A in gravity, B in volume, and then A in quality. So getting a lot of defensive attention, passing the ball a good amount. And then when he does, it's really, really, really great opportunities. So you really like that. And then Cole Anthony is another guy where they're getting pretty good volume on B quality, where you have those three guys together, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, we're starting to get some amount of playmaking out of this unit. I will say the biggest weakness of this team is their offense. They're 22nd in offensive rating, and I would say that's probably because they don't have a super high-end passer, combined with they do have a defensive kind of slanted roster in terms of talent, and then everyone I'm looking at, Jalen Suggs, 22, Franz, 22, Paolo, 21, Cole Anthony, 23. Like most of the core here, Gogo Batase, my guy, 24 years old. No one is very old except Joe Ingles is super old. He's 36 this year. And he has, you know, again, pretty solid passing data as well. So they have a lot of guys that are decent at passing, and they've been trying to keep things afloat, and they've been obviously competitive this year. Their team is pretty good. So the area this team needs to make an upgrade in, I would say, is at the guard position, where right now they have Jalen Suggs and Cole Anthony doing a lot of that. I think if you got a more premier ball handling guard, you move Cole Anthony to maybe more of like your six man running the second unit and getting some bench, you know, whatever production from him. And then you have, you know, a big time guard in front of him. Maybe you trade some picks, whatever it is, try to speed up the timeline. I think that's the best way that this happens. And naturally it's like, okay, well, how are you going to make that happen? So you could do a couple crazy things. I was thinking about that. Okay, so that's also like bookend of like the secret to the Magic success this year. Defensive depth, we dug into that. And then collectively, their offense like shouldn't be very good. It's not very good. But they've been able to stitch together some decent offensive, what would we call it? Not possessions, quarters, I guess. Not possessions, but you know what I mean, like runs. And I think a lot of that has been the collective playmaking, the collective passing of this team looks to be really good, because I think what happens is if you have hopefully Paolo continues to get better as a primary scorer slash passer, and then that just gets better. But if you add another passer to this roster, or like Franz develops or whatever it is, then it supercharges everybody else, because that's just sort of the way passing works in basketball. So let's get into the speculation of how the Magic can improve. So they need a ball handling guard. That's really what they need, because they ideally would have a lineup of Jalen Suggs as the point of attack defender as one of the guards, and then some mysterious unnamed all-star point guard that can handle the ball and can pass and can score, can do it all. And then you plug that in with Franz, Paolo, and my guy Gogo Batadze, and all of a sudden you got a really good starting five. You have a really good lineup. You have Cole Anthony coming off the bench. If you could retain Wendell Carter Jr., you probably have to give him up in that trade with some picks for this mysterious unnamed ball handling guard that can do it all. But that's probably how that happens. And then on top of that, Gary Harris is on the roster. Joe Ingles probably isn't on the roster much longer. He's very old. Anthony Black, you hope, continues to develop. And like all of a sudden, you start seeing how this team could possibly speed up their timeline by making a trade that is Wendell Carter Jr., who's like he's a pretty good player. He's like an interesting two-way guy where I don't really know if he's like your anchor big, right? But in terms of, you know, 4-5 hybrid that can space it, has some interesting offensive skills, I think there's teams that would be interested in him. And then you package that with some picks and you try to swing for some big-time player. So I think that's one way where you have the ammo to add someone to your team that could be quite impactful, because the infrastructure of the team looks pretty good. I think you're pretty excited. If you can develop one more player on this team, man, like the depth here is really, really impressive. And then in the next 2 years, as Paolo starts to enter his prime, you hope that he caps out as like a top 10, top 15 guy. If Franz could be like a top 30 guy, if they both could be perennial all-stars, all of a sudden the future looks pretty bright for the Magic. So I don't know. That's going to wrap it up. That's the secret to the Magic's success. It's defensive depth and then playmaking depth. On top of that, they do need some more help from like a ball handling guard that can pass and score. I think trade is probably the most likely scenario in which that happens. Who knows? Maybe they just get like a super old Chris Paul. Just an insanely old Chris Paul, I think, would help this team. But that would be more like maybe like a cheaper option. But also, he might turn to dust soon. So, I don't know. That's going to wrap it up. If you want to talk to me on Twitter, @TaylorMetrics, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Basketball Index Podcast.